Thanks for coming. It's a pleasure to see you all. And it's a pleasure to introduce Sarah Bodman.
Hello.
She's been visiting the gallery before. You're not the first time, are you? Sarah is a research fellow at the University of West England in the Centre for Fine Print Research. She has a large collection of artist books herself and is very involved in making artist books and selling artist books and promoting artist books. And so we've invited her to come and do a talk about her favourite artist books, think will be very interesting. So
thank
I'll
you.
Hand over.
Hi everyone.
Hi.
This is like weird performance. Yeah, I'm just going to show you some of my favourite books because obviously if I was showing you all of them, we'd still be here tomorrow. So these are just some examples. There's no kind of natural rhythm or meaning to any of them. It's just different books that I've chosen to show you because they're just books that I think are really amazing. And most of it is kind of the lovely concepts. This is Karen Hanmer's Random Passions. So basically these are couples that she's traced from the covers of romance novels and then printed it on tracing paper so they all interleave and all mix up with each other. So I'm just seeing, got there. This is Amir Brito Cador. He's a Brazilian artist. He's got he makes loads and loads of books, but most of them are published in Portuguese. This is one of his that's been translated, and this is his night visit to the library, where the books are only identified by the scale and shape rather than the actual books themselves. It's just a really nice concept. And this is Sally Alitalo, who publishes under Sarah Ranch House Publications. She's been going since about mid-1970s. She publishes her own work and a lot of other artists' works. This is her wearing her romance jacket that's actually insulated with shredded romance novels that she wears when she's doing some of her readings and performances. And these are some of the publications from Sarah Ranch House Publishing. The idea with all the books they produce is that they're affordable and they look like a book that you would pick up in an airport or a kind of normal bookshop. They're all kind of typical pulp fiction paperbacks. But what they are is actually very different inside. So quite often there'll be, for example, the legendary, lexical Lucatius Love. The whole book has been taken apart and then rearranged alphabetically. So obviously that's very different inside. And this is one of Sally's own books. You can't see the inside because she hasn't got any of them left. So that's basically we photographed when we interviewed her, the pile of three remaining ones. But this is an edition she made that she keeps threatening to remake, and I wish she would. She took apart 100 romance novels, so all kind of formulaic Mills and Boone type American novels, took them all apart, rearranged them all so that the pages of different books went into other piles. The numbers were the same and put them all back together. So her argument was that although you might jump from kind of 18th century France to 20th century Amsterdam, the basic pattern of every romance novel is the same. So the book, the story, the narrative would always remain the same, which I thought was a lovely idea. And Sophie Cowell is one of my favourite artists, and then this was her collaboration with Paul Auster, which was double whammy for me because I love him too. So this is their double game. And this is actually lovely because it was published in two editions, so you get the kind of big posh edition, and then you've got the kind of pocket version as well, which I think was only about £12 to buy. So I could have two copies. Right. This is the American artist Angie Waller. She's made a lot of books and she also does a lot of work on the internet. She did a lovely book a few years ago called Data Mining the Amazon, where she actually kept going into Amazon and going through so that it would recommend different choices for you if you were left leaning, right leaning, if you're conservative, liberal, Democrat, and made this an entire book about Amazon recommendations, the kind of music you would listen to or books that you would read if you were kind of each ilk. This is a series of books that she's just put together with her known unknowns. And essentially, it's every book that she's found in charity shops or secondhand stores or that people have given her, which have got known or unknown in the title. So they're all bound together to make this kind of lovely, very formulaic library on the outside, but all about completely different things on the inside. And this is Radoslaw Nowakowski, a Polish writer and artist. We actually interviewed him for a project 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and on our website there are... It is on. There's some videos that you can watch of him talking about his work. He's an amazing guy who's been making books since 1974. And obviously in Poland in the 1970s, you weren't actually allowed to publish books because that was illegal. So what he would do was, he was actually in a band that went across to Germany to play. So he'd smuggle paper back in his drum kit. He had a manual typewriter, and he worked out you could put 5 sheets of paper together with carbon paper, bash really hard, and make an edition of 5 books. He's obviously moved along with the times now, and all of his books he's kind of reworked through different evolutions and technology. So a lot of his books are now digitally printed by himself and bound, but more importantly, he's also started working with hypertext. So his latest 2 outputs have both been screen-based only and are free on his website. But this one, this is his non-description of the hill, and everything, all the books he makes look kind of like very kind of normal landscape books, but they're actually him asking quite searching questions about the nature of the universe. But they're all, basically everything he does is based on the kind of visual view from his window. And he lives in this tiny little hamlet in the middle of nowhere. So you get these kind of beautiful images and then this kind of very philosophical text. And he also makes sure he publishes in each edition is trilingual. So it's Polish, English and Esperanto, because he said he wants us all to talk to each other. This is Finley Taylor's Trail. I've probably showed this book in every talk I've ever done because I just think it's fantastic. And I'll show you why. This was an edition that he screen printed, and then he put the pages out in the garden, painted a solution on, so that the snails are actually spelling the text themselves. They're eating the paper to spell out the names of the predators that eat them. So every book in the edition is slightly unique, because obviously the snails have eaten through different pages in different places. And this is also his... Again, he was using snails. I mean, most of his work is around snails, slugs, and butterflies and moths. But it's implying that they have the weight of kind of conscious knowledge and intelligence. And this is someone we only kind of discovered about a year ago, I think. This is a book that Heidi Nielsen made at Visual Studies Workshop. There's a series of artist residencies that go there on there each year, and people can apply to make a specific book, and this was her project that she wanted to make while she was there, and I just think it's absolutely beautiful. Excuse me. So it's the Fake Snow collection. And essentially she built this tiny little set and then photographed it with every kind of fake snow she could find. And at the back of the book, you've actually got a little sample of each of the fake snow that she used in the photographs. And this is Gracia and Louise, which is Gracia Harby and Louise Jennison, 2 Australian artists who work together as a team for Gracia and Louise, and they also make their work independently. But they make a lot of these beautiful little zines. Quite often there'll be collaged found objects with them kind of collaging nature over the top, but they also make more unique works. This is a recent work of theirs where they've actually gone through by hand and added collage, and then you can make out the pencil drawings as well on top. They're really quite prolific artists. They make a lot of books, scenes and prints, but also they have this lovely thing. I think they've made 5 films so far. If you go to their website, there's a link to Vimeo where they'll record their books, so they'll go through it page by page with music that they've chosen to go with it. So you can actually see the whole book even though you can't physically see it. This is Stephen Fowler. I've gone into Stretchovision, but he's a British artist. He actually did a residency with us this summer to work with his rubber stamps and woodcuts. But this is one of his projects where he will collect record covers from charity shops, but he'll only collect the ones where they're homemade, hence the homemade record sleeves. So they have to be drawn by the person who owned the record. And what he does is he collects them and then he'll do a set where he DJs with the records, and then he makes this kind of visual document of the records in his collection. I think he's on about his 3rd volume at the moment. And this is Kevin Bonifaci. He's one of the funniest artists, I think. He's basically a postman, and all of his books are based on things that he overhears or observations he makes when he's out doing his rounds. This is one of his books that was actually picked up by a publisher and published for him. And he started a blog called The Most Difficult Thing Ever. And I was, what's the most difficult thing ever? And he said apparently it was from his friend saying that smoking in the shower would be the most difficult thing he could ever think of anyone being able to do. So that's what he called his blog. And on the blog, he's been uploading video and text from his kind of observations on his round. And he's now publishing them online instead. So I do recommend looking at his website because it's very funny. And this is a book that was actually a present. And I just thought it was the best present I've ever had. And kind of IKEA catalogue looky likey by Joe Scanlon, and it's basically DIY. It's how to take how to walk into an IKEA store, buy a specific product and adapt it yourself in order to build your own coffin. So if you felt like killing yourself, you could do it really cheaply. And one of my super favourite artist, David Shrigley. I remember probably about 5 years ago, people were like, who's David Shrigley? And now he's everywhere. Everyone knows who David Shrigley is. And I've converted many, many friends to his books and products to the point now where people actually phone me or email me to tell me they've got his latest book before I have. These are some of the pages from his books. I mean, I think you see him now. I think Polite have brought out a whole range of cards. The one on the left is actually an edition, a screen print edition as well now. So he's really prolific. And my only advice is if you do like him, make sure you buy the book when it comes out, because his books sell really cheaply. I think, you know, they're about £6-7 when they come out. They sell out instantly. And then they're being offered on eBay for about £100 within 2 weeks of coming out. And this is Francis Elliott's Dark Globe. I really like this book because every single one of them is made to order. So as a person, you have to download this kind of self-assessment form from his website. Basically, you have to tick all the countries you've been to, and it has to be that you've stayed in them, not somewhere you've gone through the airport. And then what he'll do is he'll black out everywhere you haven't been and then send it back to you. And this is to prove to you how little you know about anything in the world. So that's my version of the book. And it's basically, you might think you've been to a few places and you just go through the whole thing and it's practically black all the way through apart from tiny little specks. And he also does, he did it in the Globe series as well for us, where He asked people to fill in the forms, and then he had an exhibition of all the globes hanging from the ceiling, and they're all practically completely black.
So where's that painting?
That one, I think that was really weird, because it was, I think, where was it? It was a small island somewhere. That was specific. It was Cyprus, I think. Yeah. And because I was like, where's that in the middle of nowhere? But if you've been to Japan as well, of course, everything else was kind of all blacked out. You've got a tiny little bit of colour in the middle. But it looked amazing with the globes when he had them, when he installed them, because he did them in our college, and he was saying to people, he was getting the staff to fill them in so that he could put the globes up to prove to the students how little all the people he taught them actually knew about anything. Tony Kemplin as well, he's also doing a lot of kind of online work as well now. He hasn't made a book for a while, but he has done a lot of work where he's been walking out in the streets using GPS to send messages. But this is one of his quite early works, which I think is out of print now, called Kubla Khan, when he decided to type out the whole of Kubla Khan on a child's plastic typewriter. So obviously the keys started to fall apart as he was typing. So what you get is this kind of like just in unintelligible mess at the end of it, which I thought was great. Les Coleman as well. This is his little pamphlet book, which basically spells out, for it not to be worth the paper it's printed on, it has to be printed. And this is his, he made a book called With My Right Hand, because he's left-handed. So he drew everything with his right hand in an exercise book. And this is sometimes things that I like when people kind of make books that talk to each other, because Erica Van Horn later made her book after seeing his book with her, we'll get it right, left, with her left hand, because she's right-handed. So she went through and basically did exactly the same exercise with her different hand, bless you, which I thought was a really nice kind of conversation between two artists. And these are really fun, a little series of flip books. I bought these at the Frankfurt Book Fair, 2008, I think, Tobias Jacob and Frederica von Hellemann. They were both students who just happened to be on a stand and sitting there with these lovely flip books. I don't think they've made any more books since, because I keep stalking them on the internet and hope that they might have produced more. But they're really sweet little flip books just made with Lego. Obviously, the chase has got the two guys going along with their motorbikes. The police car overtakes them and disappears. And the secretary is basically typing, and then she'll, as you flip through, she'll twirl around in her chair and go back to work. And the coffee break is literally the coffee break. But really simple, but really fun. Although I say simple, but actually flip books are a lot harder to put together than anything, I think. And this is, I suppose, one of my favourite artists in the sense that I really admire her work. She's impossible to stalk on the internet because she has no website, but she does have an email address. And she's represented by Vamp and Tramp, the dealers in the USA, so you can actually view images of her work online. Met her in Chicago as part of a project we were doing. And she makes these books which are so incredibly beautiful, but their contents are absolutely harrowing. So it's this one, Souvenirs, it looks like it's this kind of traditional kind of tale, but it's actually recording souvenirs that people have taken away from lynchings and murders. So her work is kind of very, very kind of socio-political, but presented to you in such a way that you feel compelled to actually look at it and read it. And this is Bill Burns, a Canadian artist. Again, it's quite a serious message. He's done lots of work about the implications of war on people and on animals. But this is his Safety Gear Museum for Small Animals, and he's actually produced these to scale as safety gear for animals. They're kind of are meant to be very humorous, but they are actually meant to make you think about what we do to animals in their natural environment. This is a series of his books helping animals escape from the habitats, where he's literally just set it up so they're actually escaping from the books. But his website is well worth a visit, because he's got loads of his stuff up there, from books, drawings, watercolours, video. This is a British artist, John Bentley. He's been working with Artist Books since 84. This is a mammoth project he took on. I think he started it the year before, where he decided that he was going to do a book about every single person who meant something to him in his life. So I think he's on about 100 now. So he starts off, he does a portrait of them, and then he'll make a kind of, you know, almost like a card version where he's got their portrait on the front that he's painted, scanned and reproduced, and then he writes a poem about each person on the back. And then the book itself is loose leaf. It comes in a box, and anyone who buys it, he carries on sending the loose pages. So until he's finished, anyone who buys the original box will get the full lot right up until the end, which I thought was a nice idea. And these are very fun pamphlets. These are tiny books, literally one, you know, open two pages. Every single one is different, by the French artist Eric Watier. They're called latescapes, and they look like these kind of beautiful, idyllic, pastoral scenes, but they're actually photographs he's taken through estate agents' windows of pieces of land that are for sale. And this is the Danish artist Mette Sophie de Ambeck. This is a book she actually produced with Tom Selden, who I work with in Bristol, on a project where she came to him as a resident artist in the laser cutting area. It's essentially a video that she took from a trip on a tube that went out overland at night. So she was recording the light through the video and then cut it. So this is cut into black Somerset paper. So you get this kind of beautiful engraving. And if you can't really see it so well on the screen, but if you display it, where you've got light shining from behind it, you get that beautiful effect where the light shines through. And also artists who make books about other people's books. This is Tom Selden, who I work with. All of the books he's made are kind of what he calls his Ed Ruscha rip-offs, because he absolutely loves his work. So he decided he was going to make books that were kind of echoing Ed Ruscha completely from the outside, and also his subject matter, but kind of making it more kind of non-aspirational 21st century Britain instead of 1960s and 70s California. He's joined forces with a German artist called Michaelis Pickler, and because between them, they both make books in tribute to Ed Ruscha, but they've also discovered that there are actually hundreds of artists around the world doing the same thing. So they've been collecting books between them. So this is Tom's book, which is some of the buildings on the Sunset Strip. And I think Jonathan Monk has done one called None of the Buildings on the Sunset Strip. So there are many variations of the Ed Ruscha titles out there, and these are some of them. So this is various blank pages, and this is all at the School of the Arts in Chicago. They've got a huge collection of artist books, and they've got quite a lot of Ed Ruscha's books. But what they did was they went through and they photographed all the blank pages in Ed Ruscha's books and made a book called Various Blank Pages. So that's their kind of tribute to their holdings of his books in their library. And this one is by Simon Good, who's been upstairs doing the letterpress workshops today. So you've got various small cookies instead of various small fires. And then lastly, this is the artist Kurt Johannesson. I was introduced to his work through Tanya Posato at Book Art Bookshop. and I just think he's amazing. So this is his Flying Stones book. Obviously stones don't fly, so he was throwing them through the air and photographing them to make this book. He also does a lot of performance work as well, and he uses his books not just as a document of his performances, but a kind of another aspect of what he's done. He did a beautiful one called Moon, where he actually did a performance and he asked people to phone into this concert hall in Bergen at the same time at night and all recite a story about the moon in their native language. So it's this kind of massive cacophony of sound. But then he published the book so that not only was it was a kind of document of the event, but it also published all the stories in their native language and in English. So it's kind of taking it a bit further. But this is a performance piece that he did when he's literally standing on this glacier and he's holding this dead fly in his hand. And notice he is barefoot as well, and it's been incredibly cold. But what he's asking you to do is kind of think about the kind of nature of how the world works. How, you know, you can only see that that fly is so tiny in his hand because he's standing in front of the most enormous glacier. So the fly makes the glacier big and the glacier makes the fly small. So I think he's an amazing artist. And again, his website's great because he does document so many of his performances. And this is my favourite book by him ever, called Exercises. I think it's on its fifth printing at the moment. It's tiny, it's about that big. And what he says is it's a book of exercises that nobody has ever tried. And they are things, you know, like he does literally say, follow a snail for a day. So they are, although they're kind of fun, they're actually asking you to think about, you know, what would you learn if you followed a snail for a day? Probably quite a lot about the pace of your life. And I think, yeah, I would like to do the baked bread that looks like an aeroplane and put it outside for the birds to eat. But because he said no one's ever done any of these exercises, I thought actually I'd really like to do one. So I checked with him first that it was okay for me to do it, because obviously I didn't want to freak him out. I've made a book about you. So I chose his exercise, which was write 100 stories and bury them in the forest. So I got myself an exercise book. I knew I was going to the book fair in Denmark, so I thought I'd write 100 really short stories and I would take them with me on the ferry, and when we got there, I buried them in the forest. But then I was thinking, if I take them there and bury them in the forest, I know if I go back the year after, I'd be really tempted to dig the book up and see if it was still there. And I was thinking, that's not what he said in the exercise. It was write 100 stories and bury them in the forest. So I actually got two people in our group who are going out for a walk to bury the book for me somewhere where I would never find it, so that I wasn't tempted to go and dig it up again myself. And that's it. Thank you. Thank you.
Has anyone got any questions?
Go on now.
If we did a desert island disc on you, and you had to just choose one book that you could take with you, could you choose?
No.
Now you have to.
I suppose you'd have to think why you were taking it though, wouldn't you? If you were taking it to save it from catastrophe or something.
I think if you were taking it purely for your own pleasure.
Oh, yes. I think I'd take the DIY one. Because then if I died on the island, I'd be able to make my coffin.
Good answer.
Do a lot of the ones that you just profiled,
yeah,
are they just very small editions that have been professionally bound? Because some of those are very professionally bound.
Some of them are beautifully hand-bound, like Anne Tyler. She'll, you know, do them all. So they're kind of the most exquisite, hand-bound, beautiful editions. But some of them are blurb books. Some of them are photocopied, stapled, yeah. I mean, it's not really so much the production, I think, as well. If you've got a really great idea for a book, it doesn't actually have to be, you know, presented in a gold case or anything. if it's a great idea, it could be something simple that you could just knock out, fold up a piece of paper, and it's just as valuable as something that, you know, could possibly cost hundreds of pounds. I think most of the favourite things I've bought are anything between 50p and £40 or something. Yeah.
I think going back to the desert island question, I think that's what it's all about. I think it's about the idea.
It is,
that's,
yeah.
That's the thing that's durable.
Yeah.
The book can disappear. I mean, the last thing you were talking about, the performative thing of you burying the books, just reminded me of Yoko Ono's.
Yeah.
What are they called? You know, instruction paintings.
Yeah.
And then prior to that, there was Ed Ruscha's gasoline stations. I mean, they're iconic in
yeah.
art history. And as much about the books.
No, it really doesn't.
There.
Yeah, because it's just there in your head then. Yeah.
Do you reckon the reason why you've chosen the books is that they, in a sense, create a conversation with somebody else more than anything?
I don't know, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, possibly, yeah. Because
no,
people like, yeah.
About how other people responded
yeah.
to them, how it triggered something else. And is that possibly part of the reason?
It could be, yeah. I hadn't really thought about that, but I suppose when I was going through, I was like, oh no, it's really hard to choose. But I was thinking, well, I'll choose the books that I love that perhaps other people might love as well. You know, if you're going to talk about your favourite books, I couldn't just say, you know, those are my only favourite books ever, because every book I've ever bought is probably my favourite book too, so, yeah. But I think that idea of, yeah, because a lot of them, you think, oh, well, you know, that is so funny. Surely someone else will find that funny. But then that doesn't always translate, because I remember showing one of David Trigley's books to an audience in Australia, and it's like, Ants Have Sex in Your Beer. And no one, and I was like, come on, guys, I'm dying here. Don't you think it's funny that ants have sex in your beer? And they were like, well, it's beer, isn't it? Oh, okay. So it can be, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I should have just scribbled it out, said ants have sex in your lager, and everyone would have been like, oh, that's really funny.
Thank you.